brethren, I, as most of us know, God's holy days reveal and they picture the major events of God's master plan for all of mankind. And in that master plan of God's, our purpose for living and the process of salvation is laid out for us plainly from beginning to end. And without these holy days, I'm not sure we could piece together and understand God's total plan for us. They give us a harmony, a structure that we can just count down and see God's plan. And today's holy day is the 50th day, the Feast of Pentecost. This day reveals, among other things, it has various shades of meaning, the power of God's Holy Spirit. In 31 AD, on that very special Pentecost day described in Acts chapter 2, which we will not turn to, God made plain the significance of His Spirit in its role of His master plan for us. Today pictures in part God's desire for His Spirit to be poured out in mass upon all peoples who would accept and receive and act upon His calling and believe the gospel message. So not everyone is responding, of course. It's those who would accept and receive and act upon that calling and believe the message, believe the gospel message. It's good to remember that God, and only God, not us, but God, knows those who are truly His. Though many may at times attend church and warm a seat, those who are truly in the body of Christ are those who have been called and invited by God personally. You know, we're not here because of some great intelligence on our part, having figured out all of this truth of God's. You know, we're here because God has opened our mind and given us access to His truth by His Spirit. And His Spirit is how we understand this day and the significance of His holy days and His plan for all of us. Those who want to be harvested by God into His kingdom as His children must have God's Spirit within them, an absolute requirement. And that Spirit must be leading them to be active participants in this way of life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. This scripture is probably quoted every day of Pentecost, and maybe more than once. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. In the latter half of verse 9, we see Paul makes very plain this relationship of God's Spirit and His people. Romans 8, verse 9, "Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." He's not of Christ. And down to verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God," God's children. So the Spirit of God is very important to us as Christians. It's actually what makes us a Christian. And I want to talk this morning about God's Spirit, about God's power, and how we can personally take action to better tap into the energy of God's Spirit. God's Spirit brings us together here on this very special day. But how can you and how can I tap into that Spirit of God and receive more of the flow of it like living waters, and as a result become more productive in our Christian life? That's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Do we desire more of God's Spirit? Or have you got enough? Are you full of it? And you can't hold any more? Well, I can hold some more. I'm not full yet. Let's talk about God's Spirit. I've entitled this message, Tapping the Power of the Holy Spirit. Tapping the Power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible makes clear that God's Spirit is a gift. It's given to all who truly and sincerely repent and are baptized upon God's calling. There's requirements. You have to do something to be a Christian. And only God knows if those conditions are truly met from the heart. Only God knows if we have truly repented. Others may see a baptism, but only God knows the calling. You know, we cannot see a person's inner heart as God sees. We can't always tell who has God's Spirit. We don't have halos, you know, identifying us as one of God's, do we? I mean, it would be kind of neat, in a way, if God's people had a halo. But only those with His Spirit could see those halos. Then we wouldn't have any doubt, would we, who has God's Spirit? But we don't. So we have to look at the fruits. We have to look at actions and attitudes over time. But yet, even at that, only God knows who are His. And someday we may be surprised at who God considered His own. Because we may have thought, wow, I thought He was called by God and invited. See, we don't overly know for sure all the time. During his last Passover meal with His disciples, Christ spoke about the Spirit to come. Let's turn there in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, it, the Holy Spirit is not a person. I think we understand that. That it may abide with you forever. Now, the Amplified Bible and other translations give us various shades of meaning of this Greek word for helper. It's also translated in other translations, comforter, counselor, intercessor, advocate, strengthener. And all of these different expressions give us the various aspects of God's Spirit. Little different shades of meaning of how God's Spirit helps and comforts and everything. I'll talk more on that in just a moment. But going on in verse 17, speaking of the Helper to come, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or it, nor knows it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. God's Spirit was promised to be inside God's people. Now, our desire as Christians is that God's helping Spirit and power be in us. Don't we want that? I mean, we're here today to understand more of God's truth. a commanded assembly. And we want God's Spirit to be fully within us. And as we just read, that Spirit is also a comforter in times of stress and loss in our lives. The Spirit is a counselor in times when we need wisdom and we need knowledge in making the right decisions. We face decisions every day to go this way, to go that way. If we have God's Spirit and we tap into the counselor side of God's Spirit, we can receive some guidance. The Spirit is an intercessor. When we need intervention in all the trials of life, we need someone to come in and help us when a trial is there, to intercede and make things go better. The Spirit is an advocate when we need support and encouragement in tough times. And the Spirit is a strengthener when we're just almost too tired and too weak to carry on. God's Spirit can lift us up. Now, all of these benefits of God's Spirit come our way from possessing God's Spirit and actively tapping into the flow of that Spirit. We're going to talk more about the flow and the tapping of God's Spirit. And these benefits are free. They're free. There's no charge. Except, of course, we do have to become a bondservant and a slave of Jesus Christ to gain that Spirit. So in one sense, the Spirit is not free. Because you have to commit your life to Him. And if you do not, that Spirit will leave. Because the Spirit will remain in us only as long as we commit ourselves to serve Jesus Christ. Now, God's Spirit is given to help us remember Scripture, the words of Christ, God's Word. And it's also given to help us and prompt us to live a righteous life in serving God and His people. And really all people for that matter. You know, as Christians, we're encouraged to keep God's Spirit functioning, alive, and never let it diminish. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. You know, he's giving a teaching point there to the readers. Do not quench it. So we have the ability to quench it. Other translations say, do not suppress the Spirit. Do not subdue it. Do not restrain it. Yet, unfortunately, at times we do suppress the Spirit. And we let our own human spirit rule over God's Spirit. And that is possible. And many of us do it in our lifetime as a Christian. We let our human spirit rule over and suppress God's Spirit. And we let our way supersede God's way. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I won't turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul speaks of the Spirit as a force, a power, a force of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind is one that is well balanced, has discipline, has self-control. God's Spirit in us helps us to put on Jesus Christ and gain the spiritual training that we need to develop the mind and character of God. It's essential. To become like God, we have to have His Spirit. We are nothing without God's Spirit. God's Spirit gives us discernment. It opens our mind. to understand things spiritual that we didn't see before. Scriptures that were once hidden are now revealed through the gift of God's Spirit. We know that. And Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. I will read this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. For God has revealed them, that is, these deeper, unseen, spiritual truths and things of God, to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things, the hidden things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. See, without God's Spirit, we don't even understand God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of or which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God's gift is free. And this is why we in the body of Christ can see things in scriptures that others cannot. Outside, the world is going its normal routine today. And they can read the same scriptures that we do, but they cannot understand as we do. And we know that. Now, someday they will understand. But not until they're invited. And they're given God's Spirit. Many in the world believe they have God's Spirit. And again, I'm not going to be the absolute judge of who has and who hasn't. Like I said earlier, we don't have halos. But we can look at fruits, and we can look at beliefs and attitudes and so forth, and we can make a good guess. But someday they will understand, and even we too will understand more than what we see today. Today we only see through a dark glassly, or through a glass darkly. It's pretty dark. And the older I get, the more I realize I don't understand. Isn't that amazing? I can look back 40 years ago, and I thought I knew about everything there was in the Bible. I mean, I taught, understood the teaching of the church and all of this truth of God. And I thought I almost had the sum total of knowledge. And now I know I don't know if I know much of anything. I say that in jest. I know God's truth. But I realize that there's some things God hasn't shared with us yet, which He will at the appointed time. The driving goal, and this is important, the driving goal of God's Spirit is to express His great love for man. Why would God give us this gift? Because He wants us to express His love toward others. 1 John 4 says that God is love. God is love. Sum total of God is love. Later in verse 11 it says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's no greater action. There's no greater requirement that God puts on us than to obey the lead of His Spirit, and to give ourselves over to the same agape love that God has. Agape love is that level of love that is God's love. It's on His level. And we can only have it by having His Spirit. How do we do that? How do we love, truly love on God's level? How can we tap, how can we better tap into all of this power and this energy of love and help and comfort and counsel and strength, those aspects of His Spirit, not only for ourselves, but for the sake of others in need? How do we do that? How can we do that more? We can do that in one way, by simply asking God to allow His Spirit to enable us and prompt us to do good works. Do we earnestly ask God to open up opportunities in our lives to love and do good? You know, if our life is truly centered on God, His power will lead us away from the self, away from the carnal, and more towards the concern of others. And I think as we grow older, we can do that easier. I can look back in my early life, and it's very hard, even with God's Spirit, knowing I had God's Spirit. There's a lot of self there. There's a lot of carnal attitude there. But now I can somewhat control those better and focus on concern for others. You know, God has granted us His Spirit, and for us to tap it and for it to flow like living waters, from Him to us to others, we must respond to the prompts that God's Spirit will send us. Did you receive a prompt from God this morning to do good to someone? If we have His Spirit, it will prod us, it will urge us, and it will inspire us. It won't necessarily force us, but it will prod and urge and inspire us if we're willing to act and let that Spirit flow through us and out toward others. We've got to be willing to be that conduit of flowing toward others. It all starts in seeking God's will in our lives and becoming hands-on to make it happen. Too many times we find ourselves maybe blocking that prompt and it won't flow. We'll talk more about that. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Very good scripture. Probably ought to be underlined in our Bibles. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. It's also in Matthew, the parallel scripture. Christ is speaking. So simple. But we don't sometimes take time to put it into our lives in relationship to God's Spirit. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, Christ speaking, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Do you see? There's something that we have to do in this whole process. to tap into the Spirit, to get it to flow, takes effort and commitment and persistence on our part, because God wants to see how bad we desire it. Sure, He can give it to us without even asking or knocking or seeing. But that's not His approach. It's not His style. He wants us to ask and seek and knock maybe many times over, because that develops faith. We have to do it multiple times with no initial answer. You know, to tap the sap of a maple tree, it takes effort. It just doesn't appear as syrup in the bottle. You know, it takes some effort. You know, you got to get that sap to flow. And I've never done this, but you know, I understand. You got to have a little tap that you hammer into the tree. It's got to get collected. It's got to get then treated and transformed into that end product, that tasty 100% maple syrup. But there's a process there, and it takes work and effort and persistence to get that finished product. And likewise, we can't expect God to initiate this gracious flow of His Spirit without some work and sacrifice on our part. It's His way of doing things. You know, His Spirit wants to flow. It's designed to flow. It can't wait to flow. But it will flow only if it finds a receptive vessel willing to receive it. You understand? There's got to be a receptive vessel for it to flow. And these vessels will then transform it over into good and perfect works of service toward others. So one question is, are we receptive vessels of God's Spirit? I know I've got some work to do yet in my Christian journey to be a better vessel, receptive vessel for God's Spirit. Now, some years ago, I learned in faith that God would grant me sermon topics, because everybody that speaks has to come up with something to talk on. But God, you know, I learned that God would grant me a subject matter to speak on if I would sincerely ask and seek and knock. But I also found that for them to be granted to me, I had to be receptive of what God would bring. And He would bring it at any time and at any place. I mean, sometimes it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I would wake up. And I was tired. But, for, you know, this a sermon topic was right there at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know? So I had a choice to make. Do I just go on back to sleep, or do I try to note it, write it down, not forget? Now, when those topics would mentally come, you know, again, I had to get serious about noting them and not forgetting them, no matter when. Required a note. I learned that I had to have a notepad. I had to have a device, you know, a note card with me all the time, or a device now with a phone, so I could write down when these prompts would come so I wouldn't forget them. I couldn't trust my memory. I quit that a long time ago. I had to have something to remember these prompts of something to speak on or things to do, maybe for others. So for me to tap more of God's Spirit required that I be not only a receptive vessel, but to receive these spiritual prompts, that they could come and be received and then noted and kept. And I believe the same can be for you, and the same is happening to many, many of you if you allow yourself to be receptive to God's Spirit and be a doer of good works and not a forgetful hearer. You know, God can bring something to us and we can forget it. James chapter 1, verse 25 speaks to that. James 1, 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. See, God can bless us if we are receptive to his prompts, because we will take those prompts and we'll put them into action and we'll do something for someone else. And that creates an opportunity of blessing. So the only way for me to be a doer and not forget is to note it down and to put it in front of me every day, to mull over, to make decisions on. If God's Spirit is active in us, I believe we should be receiving prompts from His Spirit every day. Did you receive a prompt from God this morning to do something good, something beneficial for others? You know, a prompt, let's define that. A prompt is just a positive thought that enters the mind that can be turned into a positive action of service to someone. It's not a mystery. It's just a positive thought that comes in that we can take and turn it into a positive act of service. Yet again, God's Spirit doesn't force us to act on these prompts. They come, and it's up to us to remember them and turn them into action. You know, maybe it's just a simple prompt of knowing we need to send a card to someone. A prompt to call someone, to visit someone. A prompt to help someone with a ride. Maybe to go to the doctor, to go to the grocery store. A prompt to give assistance when money is short. A prompt to pursue peace when there's conflict. A prompt to encourage when someone is facing a lot of hardship. A prompt to put a new person at ease who's just beginning to attend church. You know, that a new attendee, it's kind of a scary time. You know, it's a big step coming out of this world. Is God prompting you to put that person at ease and to be a friend to that new person? And we could go on and on and on of all the prompts. They're endless. All of these are simple, positive opportunities brought to us directly by the flow of God's Spirit. Yet, we have also the opportunity to push them aside and not respond. And they will go undone. They will stop. And the flow of God's power will be also hindered for a short season. See, God's Spirit wants to flow. And we are the vessels that keep that flow going. God's desire is that we be willing vessels to do good. Again, He leaves that final decision to us. And I know that I have a ways to go yet. We all or striving for some perfection. Now, earlier I read, for as many, in Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. To be truly led by the Spirit requires that we make sacrifices to do things prompted by God. You know, we're to be living sacrifices, as mentioned this morning earlier. For most of us, a sacrifice of time, of our time, our personal time, is probably one of the hardest things to do in becoming a servant of God. I mean, we can give money, we can do this, we can do that, but you want my time? I mean, my time to go and go over here and do this for several hours? See, that separates us. A faithful servant, though, is subject to his master's call. And God's Spirit could be prompting us to make a sacrifice of time for us. And that we have to make that decision. Are we going to do that? To donate our time to others is a good measure of how far we've overcome the self. Because the self is all wrapped up in our time. Are we willing to sacrifice our time? And along those same lines of time, it's good for all of us, to me, to try to budget a little flex time or interruption time into our daily schedules. Listen to me here now. We had a Tulsa Men's Club speech some months ago that focused on this principle of interruption time. Mr. Stacy Munson spoke on this issue, and he's with us today. He spoke on the positive benefits of having good interruptions during the day. Well, how could there be a good interruption, you know? I mean, we're supposed to be efficient and marching on and carrying on. But good interruptions are those interruptions unplanned that result in helping someone, assisting someone, maybe just talking to someone. Totally out of the blue. Not planned, but yet producing something good for someone else. So can we maybe budget a little interruption time, good interruption time, flex time into our daily schedule? You know, each day we have opportunities to interface with people as we pass by them, to do this, to do that. And God may even prompt us as we interface with somebody out in the world, in our travels, to give them a spiritual comment, to give them something good. And then we have to make a choice whether we're going to do that, whether we're going to take the time to be interrupted for a few minutes to make that happen. It's like making ourselves available for some random acts of kindness in our lives. And again, God may be behind some of those random acts of interrupted life. I know life is busy. We have to stay on schedule. But maybe we can be a little flexible for a few minutes when those opportunities come about. Romans 8:16, you don't need to turn there. The Spirit Himself, God's Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, when God's Spirit joins with the Spirit in man, it produces a changed mind, a converted mind, that now begins to live and think very differently. Previously, we only had our spirit, and we went down our path. our carnal path of life. But when God's Spirit joins with our spirit, whoa, we go down a different path. It opens up a different way of thinking. And this union, this new union of spirits, produces a child of God. We're not God's children until that Spirit enters us. Now, those without His Spirit are potential children. But once that Spirit couples with our Spirit, His Spirit couples with ours, then we become a child of God, destined for God's spiritual family. One that can tap into the flow of God's Spirit. Without God's Spirit, man is incomplete and mostly ignorant. God's purpose and plan. And needless to say, to be God's child and to be led by the Spirit requires that we stay close to God, in union with God. You know, we can't go days without prayer. We can't do that. We can't go days without eating and drinking Jesus Christ spiritually. As we withdraw ourselves from God, then the flow of His Spirit will lessen. It will lessen and diminish if we separate ourselves from God and go days without eating and drinking Christ. We will begin to revert back into our own spirit, our own selfish and carnal ways of thinking. We will not be given prompts from God's Spirit to perform this or that good deed if we run away from God. The Apostle James tells us what's the solution to always be close to God. James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. It's our responsibility as children to stay close to family, to stay close to our father, to stay close to our brother, our king. And as we do, God will respond accordingly and draw close to us. Verse 10 there in James 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. We need to be humble children and make it a habit to spend quality time with God every day. You know, parents try to spend quality time with their children. We need to spend quality time with our parents. And to daily ask and seek and knock and finding ways to serve God. Serve family. Because that's all this is. We're just one family here. Brought together. One place. Last scripture. Galatians 6, verse 7. Last scripture. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked or made a fool. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. We rely on our own spirit apart from God. Then our reward is corruption, ultimately death. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap. Now we will reap that life eternal if we do not lose hearts. So we can't give up. Verse 10, therefore as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith, which is the body of Christ. So bottom line, brethren, we need to, on this very special holy day, we need to live out spiritually the meaning of this day, to exercise the spirit of this day. And we need to appreciate this calling and this invitation and all of the knowledge that God has given us through His Spirit. Without His Spirit, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have this understanding. If we truly have His Spirit, we will be prompted daily to do good things out of love. His Spirit in us makes all the difference. It's all the difference. Puts us in a totally different category, having His Spirit. So let's willingly be led by His Spirit. Let's willingly be receptive vessels for His Spirit. And let's willingly serve each other by tapping into the power of God's Holy Spirit.